Broadcasting from KUCR Studios in UC Riverside, this is the Highlander Newsroom. I'm your host, Colin Markovich, joined today by...
Jake Rich, Managing Editor.
Stephanie Zavala, Assistant News Editor.
Crystal Nims, Assistant Arts and Entertainment Editor.
Welcome to the newsroom, the people behind the paper.
Yes. Welcome, Crystal. It's your first time, right?
Yes, yeah. Very first time.
How does it feel?
Feels really cool. I actually feel really cool in here. So yeah.
There's nothing cooler than being a voice, a faceless person on the radio as your voice is emanated through the airwaves to everybody in the Riverside area.
We all have faces made for radio. No, I'm kidding.
Would you like to see your face, Crystal? We'll show it to you after the show.
What?
Yeah.
You didn't know that you had a face, Stephania?
No, I'm a disembodied voice.
Oh. Yes, aren't we all?
I've been like this always. I will always be like this.
Well,
I only exist in the airwaves.
So now that brought to you straight from the disembodied voices of the Highlander Newsroom, without any further ado, I think we'll go ahead and get underway. But we got a lot to talk about this week. A lot of you may have heard about the shooting that happened near UC Santa Barbara. So that's something that we're going to be talking about. And then also last week, there were some protesters who came to campus showing off I guess, pro-life imagery, talking about abortion. And if all that wasn't, like, controversial enough for you, we will also be talking about Memorial Day, which isn't controversial at all, hopefully. So first things first, the shooting near UC Santa Barbara. I mean, this is obviously a sad story, but six people were killed and 13 were injured on Friday, May 23rd, during a shooting spree. Two of those who were injured actually remain in the hospital in serious condition. Classes were called off at UCSB on Tuesday in honor of the tragedy, and students took to the streets to kind of like express their condolences, and they did some chalk drawings and saying messages of support to the people who had to the family members and to the friends of the people who had been injured. And I mean, this is obviously something that was kind of like late breaking on Friday. But when did you guys first hear about it, and what was your reaction when you heard about it?
Well, I mean, my reaction is probably the same as everybody else's and being shocked. I was just online at like 10:30 at night on Friday night, and I just suddenly saw, you know, however many people killed in shooting spree at Santa Barbara, and I was just like, what the heck? Because, I mean, you don't, you know, you hear about these types of things. I mean, it's not a good thing, but you hear about these types of things happening, relatively speaking, all the time or whatever, you know, and you're like, oh, that's sad, but it's not affecting me. And while this technically, thankfully, didn't happen on the UCR campus, you know, when it's something like a, you know, it's at one of your sister schools, it shakes you a little. It wonder, like, this could happen where I'm at if, you know, we don't do further things to try to prevent these things.
Hmm. I actually heard the reaction before I heard the news. I immediately saw an article saying, "What does Elliot Rogers?"
Elliot Rogers is the alleged.
Is it
gunman.
Rogers or Roger?
Roger.
Rogers.
Okay.
Wait, Roger? Yes, Roger.
What does this say about you know, society's view on women? Like, so immediately, the feminist community was already kind of picking apart the event to try and see how this could be prevented and how it was. Kind of symptomatic of like an aggression towards women.
Yeah, what Stephanie is referring to is the alleged gunman. His name is Elliot Roger, and he was actually killed in the rampage. And before he started the shooting in Isla Vista, he sent a 140-page manifesto to his parents. And published a YouTube video online that indicated that a lot of what he was talking about was like fueled by like his sexual frustrations. And one of the things that he said in the YouTube video is, "And girls, all I ever wanted was to love you and to be loved by you. I've wanted a girlfriend. I've wanted sex. I've wanted love, affection, adoration. You think I'm unworthy of it? That's a crime that can never be forgiven."
Yeah, I saw the video first. I was on Tumblr. And I saw the video and, like, a lot of people commenting about it. And they were really disturbing. And he had a lot on his YouTube channel. And it was kind of sad to hear that his family was concerned about him and wanted him to get help. And then it kind of ended this way. So I feel like it kind of could have been prevented, maybe. So that kind of makes it worse.
Yeah, his parents were on their way to Santa Barbara when the shooting rampage started.
Yeah, like imagine that, because like he sent it to his parents. So like from what I gather is that his mom
the manifesto or
the manifesto, yeah. I think to his mom.
Okay,
and then his mom once she got that, she's like, whoa. So she called his dad, and then they called 911, and they together drove up to UC Santa Barbara to try to see if they could like.
Stop
it before like anything happened. And like as they were driving through Los Angeles traffic,
it happened.
They just heard it on the radio, and like imagine like driving up to see that, and then or to like prevent it, and then at you like your worst fears.
That's like one of the more chilling things I could imagine, like suddenly hearing on the radio as you're on your way to stop him that your son has gone and shot up at school. I don't know, that just sends chills down my spine. I could not imagine that happening.
There's been like a lot of sympathy obviously for the victims' parents and their families, but being Elliot Rogers' parents, they must be in hell right now.
Yeah.
And then beyond just the people who are, you know, directly affected, it is a little bit inspiring though to see kind of the UC Santa Barbara community come together. Uh-huh. Around this, I mean, I don't know what you guys have seen, but like I mentioned, like they were these chalk drawings that they did all over the Isla Vista community that are in so many different colors, just like expressions of support that are everywhere, so that you can't not see them. And I think that's been something that's been one of the most kind of like inspiring and heartwarming things is like out of this tragedy, there people are coming together as a community.
Yeah, and something else I'd also like to mention is that I've been on their newspapers, the Daily Nexus, their website a little bit, and I just wanted to, from newspaper to newspaper, congratulate them on doing a very good job of unbiasedly, you get what I'm trying to say, covering this and getting all the tone correct in covering this tragedy.
They've been pretty fearless. They were there like right after the incident.
No, they were there like they had a video of the press conference at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Like the night after it happened. So
yeah, when I read an NPR article, they were citing the Daily Nexus.
Great job, Daily Nexus, on that. And one of the most interesting, well, not one of the most interesting, but I mean one of the things that came out of it was obviously like the things that he published beforehand. Like did anybody actually like dive down that rabbit hole? And see what it is that he published and said.
Yeah, I saw, I think, the video that spread the most, which is the one that happened right before it. And then I went to his YouTube channel. I saw one other video of him at a golf course just talking about how he enjoyed being there and the scenery and how he was happy that there weren't a lot of couples there because he didn't have to be reminded of being alone, and how just kind of the same things he said in the other video, how women didn't like him and how he's being deprived of, you know, what everyone else has. So it was really disturbing to watch, actually.
I read some of his writings, and yeah, they're very disgusting. And what's unfortunate is that he was on some forums and he was saying things like, oh, why do ugly women even go outside? Or,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. Or non-blonde women should all dye their hair. Things, ridiculous things like that. And he, like, on the forums, he got a lot of support, which is, I think, one of the most disgusting parts of the story.
So he was, like, encouraged by, like, the reaction that he was getting to what he was posting.
Yeah.
Something else about this, and I'm not sure where the line is drawn with it, is the media coverage of this. Because when these kinds of things happen, there tend to, within, you know, the next couple of weeks, like, another thing happens because of the glamorous 24-hour news cycle that will promote everything, absolutely every single detail, even unnecessary details about what's happening. And even, like, speaking right now, like, I don't know where the line is between getting thorough media coverage of this and oversaturating everybody with it. Like, are we talking about it too much right now or not? It's like, it's a very gray area.
This is getting very meta.
Yeah. I
Well, Colin, you were mentioning that you were afraid that his manifesto would be published and that more people would read things like this.
Well, I think it's definitely, I don't think that like something like that is something that is going to be published because it's going to get like clicks, it's going to get views, it's going to get hopefully not like likes or anything, but like it's going to be something that will drive up traffic, and so it's going to be something that's going to be read. Part of me says that like I don't think it should be published because I think like that's like scrounging up the darkest depths of mm-hmm. like what humanity has to offer, and like spreading that is not something that we should endeavor to do as a society. But also like the other part of me says, you know what, show it. Like, show how depraved, or show where exactly he's coming from.
And so we know how to stop it.
Right, so we know what's exactly going on. And so there's no risk of someone glorifying, like, what he did to make him seem like he's not a martyr. Like, mm-hmm. he is not a martyr for anything. So I guess to bring that to light and say that, you know, there's nothing that you did that was honorable. So I guess those are the kind of like the conflicting things that I think any media organization who's covering this is thinking about as they're deciding.
Yeah, any ethical media organization, hopefully. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, do you guys think that there's been too much media coverage of what's going on, or has there been not enough, or Goldilocks condition just right?
I think there has been a lot. I mean, especially with social media, there's really nowhere to turn to not see it, especially when something like this happens. And, I mean, I think right now, especially with how people are feeling about it, of course, it's a really sensitive area to talk about. So I guess publishing something like that, I know people are curious and they're going to want to, you know, I guess see where he was coming from. But there can be a point where it's too much. But I think it is important to see where he was coming from so we can prevent things like this in the future.
Yeah, and going off that, well, what part do you focus on, right? If you're oversaturating it, which part is better to oversaturate? Are you going to focus on him and why it happened and what he's doing, and how are you going to label him, right? Or are you going to focus more on the victims and how the community is recovering and how they're becoming stronger, and what is the right balance for that? Mm-hmm. I'm asking a lot of hypothetical questions, but it's just, you know, it's questions that need to be considered in the coverage of this.
Well, it's interesting because some of what you mentioned, when the Boston Marathon bombing occurred, there were a few news agencies who said, you know, when we cover this, we're actually not going to say the name of the person mm-hmm. of the person who did this. We are just going to say, you know, this is what happened.
I didn't hear
his name
for a while.
The victims. Yeah. And that they were just going to emphasize the victims of the people and say that, but this is what happened to them. This is their story. They're not telling a story about Tamerlan Tsarnaev. They're telling a story about the people who were injured in the bombing. And so they're like trying to deny the person who did that fame, or I guess infamy in this mm-hmm. case, or whatever the case may be.
Well, I don't know that I necessarily agree with that, because I think, like, as horrible as this sounds, there have been maybe not positive, but like hopeful reactions to the fact that like all of these things about Elliot Rodgers were published. Like, his manifesto sparked a lot of conversations on Twitter with the hashtag Yes All Women, because
I heard about that.
Yeah, because it was like people were saying, oh, not all men go on shooting sprees when they're sexually rejected, which is, of course, obviously true. But the reaction was, yes, all women face fear of sexually rejecting men. And then it was all of their Twitter stories of like people who said that once they'd gotten divorced, like their husbands had beaten them, and like all these people saying that their sisters had been murdered and things like that. So I think, obviously, it was a very horrible incident, but the fact that people have had this kind of reaction makes it worthwhile that Elliot Rodgers' name was published and that his story and his manifesto were public.
Do we think it's possible that anything good is coming out of the shooting? I mean, not the shooting itself, but like the reaction to the shooting?
Well, I mean, it's always nice to see a group of people come together and unite for like a good cause such as this. I mean, obviously you don't want these circumstances causing that, but it's one of the best things I have seen so far to this is, you know, obviously, you know, there's been support on the campuses of UCSB, but just browsing through Facebook and having friends that go to different UCs, for every, almost every UC that one of my friends does go to, you know, as you guys know, tonight there's the vigil that's going to be at the bell tower. I have seen Facebook event pop up for every campus. I've seen one for, well, so far out of the friends that I've seen, one for Davis, one for LA, one for San Diego, and I'm sure there's one, you know, in Berkeley and wherever else. Mm-hmm. So it's really nice to see the outpouring across sister campuses, and I'm sure there's been outpouring on non-UC campuses as well.
Stephanie mentioned, like, the conversations on that were happening, like, regard to sexual, like, violence and how, mm-hmm. you know, women are... You're talking about this kind of, like, patriarchal kind of society, which actually is interesting because we were just talking about UCR's, like, attempt to put in a gender studies class mm-hmm. To make that a requirement last week. And actually it passed the ASUCR Senate unanimously during their meeting Wednesday. So it's going to be taken under further consideration. And then, like, in addition to that, there have been people who have been bringing up, like, the issues of gun control. Like, should there be more? Like,
there was one of the parents that
right,
was big on that.
Yeah, he said that, you know, in, like, had Congress passed reforms after Sandy Hook, this wouldn't have happened, is basically what he said. And then, of course, in response, there are people who are saying, no, it wouldn't have helped. Does anybody remember Joe the Plumber from
2008? I read his thing.
Yeah, he wrote something and he said, I'm sorry you lost your child. I myself have a son and daughter, and the one thing I never want to go through is what you are going through now. But as harsh as this sounds, your dead kids don't trump my constitutional rights.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
And then even if you're going to say that, that's not the time to say that right now.
That's horrible.
Is it just the way he said it, or is this, should California, I guess, consider any, like, changes in gun control laws, or is this not the right time to be talking about it?
Yeah, I don't have, like, really good statistics on this,
because
I remember reading after Sandy Hook that mass shooting sprees like this happen more in America than they do in
anywhere
any
else.
Country.
Yeah, I hear the same thing.
So I think some measure of gun control, like a much stricter amount of gun control mm-hmm. is necessary in this country. But like I said, I don't know enough about it to.
I'm basically in the same boat. Like, I think there should be more, but I also don't know enough about it. So.
Yeah, like when I heard the parent talk about it, I was surprised to hear after Sandy Hook that whatever legislation was being proposed didn't pass, only because I feel like these things do happen a lot, but the fact that it was a good amount of elementary school kids really hit close to
home. It was right before Christmas, too.
Yeah. It really hit people, and I feel like it can make a parent frustrated when things like this keep happening, and you keep seeing that it seems that people within the government don't really take the necessary steps they feel to prevent it. So
it's like, you know, we're not going to pass this right now because it's just emotional time and we want to be logical about it. Well, when is the correct time? I mean, Patriot Act fly through after 9/11? Okay, that is a huge comparison that I shouldn't be making. But it's the emotional fervor is the point that I'm trying to make.
You know? Well, the gun special interest group is really big, and they have a tremendous amount of control. So
I think whatever happens at this point, like, we're all holding the community of University of California Santa Barbara close to our hearts, and they're in our thoughts at this time. And as Jake mentioned, there is going to be a candlelight vigil tonight, actually 8 p.m. at the bell tower.
Mm-hmm.
Last I checked, over 2,000 people had said that they're going to go. That's a lot of
people.
It's going to
be a special thing happening.
Yeah, so it's a pretty big deal. And if you want to go and show your support, you can go and do so. Yeah.
There's a Facebook page with more information, right? An event page.
You can go and show your support if you want.
And you're listening to the Highlander Newsroom on KUCR.
There was a pro-life group that came last week to campus to display some imagery about advocating their position against abortion. Mm-hmm. Some of the stuff that they showed that were large pictures of what they claimed to be aborted fetuses and other things that they compared abortion to the Holocaust and to racism. And some of the things they were saying was like, you know, oh, we ended racism, we ended bigotry, why can't we stop genocide? And in response to that, a lot of UCR students showed out and protested the protest. And on Thursday, actually, probably about 50 people came up, and many more signed like a petition to have the vice president or vice chancellor of student affairs to review the displays. Did anybody actually like see the end of the protest or like the displays themselves?
I saw the actual display. I didn't see the actual protest, the protest. But I mean, this is my third year here. It's the third year they've been here. And my reaction every year has almost been the same. I am sympathize more with pro-life myself, but what I say is that these posters, if you're talking about like having a conversation, these posters are the equivalent of going up to somebody and screaming in their face, and that's not a rational way to have a conversation.
Hmm. Yeah, that's how I felt about it too. I saw a lot of the pictures that they had up, and it was something. If you are pro-life or pro-choice or anything like that, it's not, I think, a good way to approach someone about the situation. I think everyone has an opinion. Everyone should be respected for their opinion. But it was just kind of really, like, I don't know, out there and kind of disturbing to see, I guess, around walking around the campus. I saw a lot of, I know they had a lot of, like, posters saying, you know, coming up is a display that, you know,
Some of those posters were put out by the group, and some of them were put out by campus. It's hard to tell the difference.
Yeah. So, I mean, it definitely did start a lot of conversation, which is, I guess, what they wanted in general. But, I didn't see the actual protest, but I did see the display.
I'm personally, like, a pro-choice person. That's kind of, like, where I fall on the spectrum. But, I mean, I can say that I think the signs were in bad taste, and like that's like if that's what you want to, if that's how you want to do it, then by all means. But I think at least for me, I'm more of the opinion that, you know, if that's what you want to say, then that's you know, free speech protected by the First Amendment, that you have the right to say that, however incendiary, however even racist or bigoted, if you consider that racist or bigoted, then you have the free speech to say that. And they put up signs saying that, you know, there are signs ahead that may be considered offensive by some people. Mm-hmm. So people have the opportunity to avoid them.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I think that they kind of can't avoid them. If you're passing by the hub, you kind of have to.
I tried to avoid them, and I
yeah,
ended up not.
Like, I've tried to avoid them every single year since they've started, and I just can't. And like, I've seen the images every year, and it's kind of like really horrifying if all you wanted to do is go to the hub and get a slice of pizza, and you had to be bombarded with that. So I don't think they have any place here. And if they do, I would say to put them further away from the center of the entire campus.
Yeah, they always seem to come. I mean, this is maybe incidentary or whatever, but they always seem to come when there's like junior high tours coming, and I always see like little kids walking by them.
Oh,
just,
no.
Speaking of Santa Barbara, this is actually something that happened at UC Santa Barbara too. Is that there were a lot of there were some people who had come to do that, to show those signs, and it actually kind of like flared up a little bit more. One of the professors there, like walking by, like took down the signs herself.
She ripped on a sign from somebody's hand, right?
Right, and like walked off with it. Yeah. So I mean, UCR, I guess, isn't the only campus where this is, where there's been people who have been protesting this sort of thing.
Yeah, if you think about how people got upset about that fun house, this is a million times worse than that.
Yeah, that was nothing compared to Funhouse. Well, the Funhouse was nothing compared to that, I should say.
Mm-hmm. We're closing up on time, so let's briefly, in the very few minutes we have left, let's talk about something happy. So Memorial Day weekend, guys.
Yes.
It's like the unofficial start of summer. Mm-hmm. Did you guys do anything interesting? I know some people went out for all-you-can-eat sushi.
Yes, that was delicious. I ate mostly very fattening golden California rolls. And,
tisk, tisk.
I had regular and I can't even use chopsticks properly. Like, I take the chopstick and I stab the middle of the sushi and I pick it up and I eat it like that.
What are you doing?
I am being white or something like that. I don't know. So, yeah. All you can eat sushi was good. I had steak earlier that day because I wasn't with my family when they barbecued, and that was excellent as well. So I had a lot of food.
Steak and sushi.
Yeah. Yeah, they had an editorial board meeting. What do you know?
Oh, yes. Editorial board meetings. Nice meal to top off the steak and the sushi. It's like a nice aperitif. Crystal, what did you do? Do you do anything interesting?
Not really. I live in LA, and I didn't go back home, so I was just here.
You horrible person.
In my dorm, sleeping and watching movies. If you have not seen Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2, that is the best movie in the world. I was in my dorm by myself just like laughing.
Is it on Netflix?
Yes, it's on Netflix.
That is a great film. I support that.
Two?
Yeah.
Two is actually good, because a lot of times sequels aren't that good.
I know. Usually they're not. But so that was my weekend. I just slept. Also, if I would have went home, it would have been very painful for me because I've been a vegetarian since January. And my mom still likes me to help her cook and barbecue, and it's really hard.
Yeah, the air smelled beautiful. Beautiful with, like, animal flesh.
It's really rough sometimes. So,
on that note, on the note of animal flesh, Stefania, do you do anything interesting?
I ate pancakes and I wrote a paper on formal organizations. So, no.
50% of that sounds good. The formal organizations paper part. That sounds like a fun time.
Yes.
It's exactly what it sounds like.
And Colin?
I was with Jake and some other members of the Highlander. We did all you can eat sushi, and it was delicious.
It was.
Oh
yeah, that's why
delicious.
You didn't see me. I was at the end of the table, so you didn't see me stabbing the.
Yeah, you're at the far end, and I was at the close end, and so every time Jake wanted to use the restroom, like four of us had to get up out of our chairs and like waddle around the restaurant until he got to the restroom.
Yeah.
And then we got to sit back down.
I tried to go under the table at one point, and I flung up on the other side, and I almost hit a waiter, and apparently I got a death stare from them. So.
It's best not to knock over waiters while they're carrying expensive sushi.
Yeah.
Unless, well, on the other hand, then, as long as they've recently swabbed the floors, then that's still edible.
Yum, sushi from the floor.
Okay. This conversation is rapidly going nowhere, so thank you, everybody, for listening to Sushi on the Floor and Pancakes and Formal Organization Papers. This has been the Highlander Newsroom on KUCR 88.3 FM. The Newsroom is a co-production of the Highlander Newspaper and KUCR. The opinions expressed on today's show belong solely to their owners and do not represent KUCR, the Highlander, or the associated students. Special thanks to Louis Vandenberg, Monica Taylor, Eddie Valencia, Elliot Fong, Tina Bold, and Alex Hill. For Jake Rich.
Yeah, once again, go to the vigil tonight. If you get a chance, it's going to be a good night. Bell Tower at 8 o'clock.
Estefania Zavala?
Times are tough. Eat more pancakes.
Yes.
Some truer words have never been spoken. Crystal Mims?
Try and not procrastinate when studying for your finals coming up.
Yeah, good advice. Let's see how many people listen. I'm not going to listen. This has been Colin Markovich. Thank you very much for joining us.